Congratulations on your contract. Welcome back to the show. How are you doing?
Thank you very much. Doing great today. Yeah, no complaints. Just excited to be playing hockey again, and whenever that will be.
So let's we'll get to coming here, but I gotta go to playing for Red Star last year. You're playing in Beijing in the KHL. I would assume it was quite the experience. How was hockey in the KHL for you?
It was a great first experience. Definitely going over to China and didn't know really what to expect. Never been there before, and then. We had great coaching staff that I knew of. Played for Kurt Fraser in Dallas. He was our head coach. And then going over with guys I played against in over a years. And, Victor Bartley, Brandon Yip, Brandon DeFazio. There's a bunch of guys. Most of our team was North American. Andre Schuster from Czech, but played with him in San Diego. And, it was just a great experience to enjoy it with these guys that we never knew what we were walking into. The KHL is a great league. A lot of fun, good hockey, good skill hockey. So definitely improved my skating being over there and just experiencing what hockey has to offer, especially going to just all over Russia.
Well, I was looking at your roster. Gilbert Brulé was on your team. Griffin Reinhart, some Oiler connections. Devontae Smith-Pelly, Andrew Miller. You mentioned Brandon Yip. So lots of guys. Hunter Shinkarik. Lots of kind of Wojtek Volsky. So kind of a wide age range as well, from guys in their 30s to younger guys in their mid 20s. Former NHLers.
Definitely a lot of guys. I think it was just comfortable for guys to kind of make that choice to come over when you have. So many North Americans, you're not walking into a dressing room where everyone's just speaking Russian, right? So I think when guys come over there, they know they're going to be comfortable, even in a city that is clearly pretty busy with 25 million people, I believe Beijing's at. So, we had a great time. A lot of hours in the plane, so a lot of cards and a lot of money was lost, but a lot of good times. Just obviously excited to be back. I know the team moved to Moscow this year with COVID, so it's definitely a little different, and hopefully they can get back going.
So what was it like? So you arrived there, and did you bring your family over? And how did you guys get settled in such a massive city?
Well, it kind of happened so quickly. Like, we were talking during playoffs when we were playing Bakersfield. I was comfortable leaving, knowing that the NHL and the AHL, I can leave behind and just kind of explore what hockey has to offer. So ended up leaving the end of January, and my family didn't come until November. We ended up having to start the season. Well, we did training camp in Beijing, ended up doing a tournament, what they do for exhibition games over there in Magnitogorsk, and then having to go down to Shenzhen, I think, for 3 weeks for six home games. And then like a 3 week road trip around Russia. And then finally the family was able to come in November. I mean, that was the hardest part. I think a lot of us with families that were over there were really struggling with that. But eventually once they all came, it was obviously great. And my girls and my wife really enjoyed Beijing. It's a safe place, a lot of history, lots of things to do. So once we got settled and calmed down, it was great.
Adam Cracknell joins us. And so, Adam, you've really battled and fought for your pro career for many years between the AHL and the National Hockey League in lots of different organizations, the Blues, the Blue Jackets, Canucks, Oilers, Stars, Rangers, and Ducks. And, you have a reputation. There was a lot of teams that were bidding for you to come back and play because they know who you are as a person. Obviously, you still want to compete in the NHL, but if you're in the American League, you're a guy who can help mentor the young ones. Where does that part of your personality come from, and how comfortable you in that role to kind of be a mentor for young players to teach them how to be a pro?
I mean, when I was younger, I had a lot of guys that did that to me. Pete Vanamir was one of those guys early in my career, and then when I got to the NHL, it was Scott Nickel. He's now GM of Milwaukee Admirals. So there were just guys that kind of took me under their wing and showed me how to be a pro, and those guys are always respected. They never asked for anything in return, obviously just hard work. And those are the guys throughout my career, and the Sedins were like that. I mean, it's just every team, there's always a couple guys that were always like that, but especially when you're younger, it means a lot. And I hope I was able to do that to guys when I was in San Diego and just have a positive influence. I want to be able to look back on my career and be able to say that I, you know, steer guys the right way, and, you know, guys are going to make mistakes along the way, and like I did when I was younger. I mean, didn't help, I was playing in Las Vegas for 2 years at 21, 22. So there was a couple of mistakes made there, but I think that was more just not staying on, you know, 16 or 17. That was some big mistakes when on the blackjack table. So, yeah. But,
go ahead.
Yeah, it was just guys like that that really make you love the game and appreciate it. It just, that's what it's about when you're in the dressing room with, you know, 22 other guys. You want the best for everybody, and hopefully I can do that no matter where I am. If I end up in Edmonton or even in Bakersfield, I come to work every day and really appreciate that I still get to play this game.
Adam, you know, quite often when guys, they kind of go overseas, it's rare for them to come back. So, you know, this decision, was it based on family? Was it based on you want to be in North America? Was it the traveling too much over in Europe? Or, you know, how did this come about for you?
Edmonton called, and I said, yeah, sure.
Pretty simple.
You don't get too picky at age 35 these days. I think we all know that. And, you know, it is such a great opportunity to come back, and I have such a good connection with the organization. I know the coaches. I know Jay Woodcroft very well, as he was an assistant when I was there. I grew up in the same hometown as Dave Manson and knew him from back in the day. But, you know, Glenn Gallatin, Jim Playfair, I've had connections with them through the Flames organization. So I just think, like, when the opportunity knocks, it's when you get a chance just to be around the NHL and maybe have that opportunity again. It's great, and, you know, I love playing in the American League too. It's a great league, but also to have that opportunity that, you know, maybe you get a game or two, it's all worth it at the end of the day. But definitely for the family, it's obviously a great opportunity, and I'm only 7-hour drive instead of a 30-hour travel day over to China. So I'll take that.
Well, yeah, family. The Prince Albert drive, you know, I did it a few times last year. And it was a great drive. It was actually a lot quicker than I thought it was going a few back roads. So it's a quick little jaunt for the family if they want to come up. And, you know, Adam, you mentioned, you know, some young mistakes as a young guy. And we'll get into that a little bit more. But, you know, you're born in Prince Albert. You grew up there. You know, then you go to the Western Hockey League, and you grind it out with the Kootenay Ice. You get drafted as an 18-year-old in 2004 to the Calgary Flames. Just kind of talk about where your career went, because, you know, you spent a good four seasons in the minors before you finally got your first recall to the NHL with the Blues. And, you know, a lot of guys, you know, they get disheartened or they leave. You never did. What allowed you to just keep chasing the dream?
I mean, it was guys like Daryl Sutter. Like, it all started with Daryl. I always thank Daryl. Anytime I ever get a chance, it was Daryl. He was the guy that, you know, pulled me aside one day when we were playing. I played with Brett Sutter and Kootenay. He's like, if you're left in the draft, it was during the lockout year in 04. He's like, if you're left in the draft, I'm taking it. I, you know, BS, whatever. Like, you know, just kind of chit chat. And, you know, next thing you know, Daryl calls me. He's like, I told you I was going to take you. I was like, awesome opportunity, you know. But when I started in pro, it was Vegas, and I don't know, maybe I was a little naive of the league. I got called up, had a couple points in the American League, thought I was good, and, you know, it's a lot harder than I thought, and I had to learn the hard way. Going down to the East Coast, and then that's where Glenn Gallatin comes in. You know, he mentored me for 2 years. I broke my ankle my first year, so I went through pretty big adversity that year. I missed a whole chunk of games, missed playoffs, and it just wasn't going right. And then the next year we ended up going to the finals, and I was a big part of that, and Glenn gave me a huge role, and just I kind of never looked back after that. You know, he was a big part of what made me, you know, drive even farther. He never let me quit, or, you know, he would get in my ear quite a bit, but also in a caring manner where he wanted the best for me. So I always wanted to prove those guys they made a right decision, Daryl and Glenn. And, you know, after parting away from Calgary, just too many organizations in my mind, it was just, I don't know, just getting that opportunity that one time to play in the NHL where I played 24 games with St. Louis, it was something that you always wanted more of. And no matter when it came, you wanted to take advantage. So I'm just so fortunate and lucky to have this kind of career so far. It's been wild, but wouldn't change a thing.
You know, Adam, when you talk about the fact that the jump to pro hockey was maybe harder than you expected, what was it that you kind of underestimated?
Well, I think you're playing against men, right? You're playing against guys that have done it. Guys are you don't realize how much of a fight it is to get to the NHL and what guys are willing to do. You're playing against, 17 to 16 to 20 year olds in junior, and then all of a sudden you're playing against Dave Manson or not Dave Manson, Pete Vandermeer, these guys that are complete pros and guys that are trying to make it. The hockey's so much different. Guys' jobs are on the line. You just don't realize how much guys are willing to sacrifice and what to do and how much work it takes every day, practice, game days, away from the rink, what it takes to be an NHL-level player.
Adam Cracknell joins us on Edmonton Sports Theater, TSN 1260. And Adam, you mentioned that you got drafted in 2004, and your NHL debut came 6 years later in 2010, in December when you got recalled by St. Louis. Your first game was in Detroit at the old famed Joe Louis Arena. Tell me about do you remember that first game in the December of 2010? What stands out?
Well, they hid my helmet in warm-ups, so that was a good start. My parents flew in. My buddy's my best man at my wedding's a Wings fan, so he wore the Wings jersey the morning skate, so it didn't look too good on me. But, coming off, just being in Hockey Town against Lidstrom, Zetterberg, all these guys, I hit the post coming off the bench my first shift. I thought that would have been the record. But, it was just so surreal to play in a place like that. One of my favorite teams growing up because I was a Yzerman fan. And, it was great. Lidstrom got his first career hat trick against us. I don't think we fared too well in the game, but it was such a great experience.
Well, later that year, I'm assuming you remember quite vividly March 12th, 2011. The first NHL goal.
Yeah. Is that a goal? Yeah. You're going back quite a few years now. I'm starting to get Alzheimer's. First goal, I just remember Reeves and Jansen jumping into my arms, a couple really big boys. Those are my line mates. So for us to score a goal, we get excited no matter who scores it. But first goal against Detroit, it was very memorable. So, yeah, a lot of fun.
What kind of, was it like a goal scorer's goal? Jamming a rebound? What happened?
Well, just some details, man.
It was McDavid speed going wide. No, I think I just spun and shot, fourth line goal, just put it on net, hope for the best. So, yeah, that was about it. Nothing too glorious, but we had fun after, of course.
Oh, I would hope so you had fun afterwards, because when a guy scores his first NHL goal, every guy in the team gets excited because they probably all remember scoring their first one. And just like that feeling, all the work, all the practices, everything else, kind of in that moment, it's like, oh, it was worth it.
Yeah, no, definitely. All the sticks you break when you're playing outdoor hockey, it's all worth it. I know my dad, we had aluminum that helped, so I didn't break too many of those, but... No, just all the time and effort. You always think about scoring, the Stanley Cup winner and you're playing pond hockey. But to score your first goal was definitely a great experience. Not too many kids get to experience that. But, when you do, it's a lot of fun and get to share that with friends and family.
Where's the puck from your first goal now?
Oh, it's gone. I don't know where it is.
I don't know where it is.
Remember. I don't even know if I even have it. I don't have the stick. I don't know. We got YouTube, that helps, but I don't know if I have the puck or not.
They didn't know some teams put it like a plaque
on
and stuff.
HockeyDB, you don't collect too many. You got so many collectible things. It's just I don't know where it is. I got so many hockey bags full of stuff. It might be in there. Who knows?
Oh yeah, you gotta dig it out, man. You gotta put it on the mantle at some point. Hey, as you said, there's not many guys who get to score first goal, never mind 20 goals in the National Hockey League.
Well, don't forget, I scored a hat trick, so I got those pucks. Come on.
Adam, you're jokingly said about, a hat trick on March 24th against the San Jose Sharks. What happened?
Don't remember. Blacked out. just one of those nights. I mean, just every goal was different. you know, our line was worth $8 million, but Spezza was making $7 million, and me and McKenzie, well, Struds can do the math on that one. So,
yeah,
it was just one of those nights. It was good. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, you know, listen, I mean, with all due respect to you, you didn't score a lot of goals. I didn't score a lot of goals in the NHL, but could you feel you're on a heater? Like, there's just some nights. I had one night where I played with Brodziak, Stortini, myself, and I think our line scored 2 goals. Like, it felt like we scored 10 because we were around the net all night long, and I don't know what we were doing right or the other team was doing wrong, but did you know that your line was on a heater that night and you guys are going to have a good run?
Well, the team was kind of hot. Like, we kind of blew up the shots that night. But, like, my first goal, Haley kicked it in. So, like, well, I didn't have to do anything. Just take it to the net. Like, so that's what you do when you grind. You don't even have to shoot the puck sometimes. And then Spezza's a lead passer. So I just trail in behind and make sure you just hit the puck. It's going to go in. It's a wide open net. And then the third one, I believe, if there's a video, there is a video. I think we're shorthanded, and we have about 8 guys on the ice, but I'm just cruising down the middle. I got so anxious, hoping he was going to throw it up in the middle, and the goalie did, and just picked a corner and just closed my eyes and shot and went in. So, yeah, all different, but, yeah, definitely one of the highlights of my career, if not probably the most.
Oh, now tell me, like, when Adam Cracknell scores a hat trick, right? Like, that was your 8th, 9th, and 10th goals this season. You had a pretty good, productive campaign, but, you know, I have, like, the superstar guys, when a role player scores a goal, they get excited. When he scores a hat trick, like, what was the post game reaction like from your teammates?
Oh, it was a lot of fun. Like, good friends with Segs and Benny and Spud, obviously. We had such a good older crew of guys, Patrick Sharp, it was just a lot of fun to be, like, have a, you know, good night with those guys. Like, in the dressing room, it was so much fun. They were really happy for me. You know, like, I think they've known what I've gone through in my career. But, that, you know, have that reward and have so much fun in that game. And, you know, obviously we won, so you can go out after and didn't have to pay the bill. But it was just great just to have one of those moments. You know, those are the last 3 goals I've scored in the NHL, so. You know, I hope they're not the last.
You know, it's so funny. You talk about a guy like Jason Spezza, and, you know, listen, I didn't play a lot of forward, but when I did and I played with a good sentiment, it was unbelievable because no one was even looking at me. Like, they're all focused on that guy. So you can really get some nice looks. You just have to convert it. So Spezza was a pretty special guy to play with, obviously.
Well, definitely. Like, well, when he's so far ahead of you all the time, a guy skates like the wind, you know, like, I could be ahead and he just blows right by and you're like, well, I'll be F3, I guess, you know. And yeah, sounds good. Yeah, I got this one. Yeah, I'll cover for you. But it was, you know, like, playing with him was, well, he probably wasn't too happy. He looked on the board and it's me and Curtis McKenzie. He's like, oh God, like, what am I doing here? But then, you know, he gets a couple points. Like, I'll take care of the young fella. It's okay. I got your back, Spez.
Yeah, it's pretty funny because I found most of the time those guys, it wasn't too long. They would just be like, and it, you know, if I was just watching, I wasn't on that line or I was a defenseman. Most of the time those guys are like, okay, like, let's have a good time. You know, they're maybe a little sour, but like, let's have a good time. And they get a pretty good matchup a lot of times as well.
Yeah, no, exactly. Like, you know, maybe he is struggling and whatever, you know, come down to the basic line and just put it in the corners and you'll get rewarded, hopefully. But, you know, he's such a professional. He's one of those guys I looked up to, you know, even growing up. Like, he's such an elite player, passer, everything, you know, just a super person off the ice and away from the rink. It was just a lot of fun for us. And, you know, I'm glad to see he's still playing well and doing well with Toronto.
Adam Cracknell joins us. Adam, you mentioned, you know, your last year in the NHL with Dallas, although you did play a few games with the Rangers and the Anaheim Ducks. But the next year, 2017-18, now you started with the Rangers, and then you got moved to the Laval Rockets, and you just lit it up. You had 27 goals in 54 games with Laval. And, you know, everybody loves scoring. Kind of, you know, you've been a pro for 12 years at that point. You know, what happened? Were you on the first unit power play or just sniping left and right? Because, you know, 27 goals in 54 games, I don't care what league that is. And when you're scoring that much at a pro level, it's pretty good.
Yeah, it was, you know, it was a fun year. Like, we had a very young team in Laval, and I think they were just looking for a little bit of leadership, and guidance for the young guys. And, you know, it wasn't going so well with the Rangers organization. I was on the fourth line in the American League, where barely I've ever been. So, you know what, I've never asked for a trade. I've never asked to be moved. I've always tried to work my way out of things. And I got the call that I was going to Laval, and hopped in my truck yet again, drove to another city, and didn't know what really to expect. Laval was pretty new in the league. I haven't seen them or kind of heard about it, but obviously if you're a part of an organization like Montreal, you're going to get well taken care of. They have a new rink. It was fun playing in front of those fans. I played with Chris Terry and Nikita Sherbeck, and you know, we're a team that struggled, so we kind of had free reign to just kind of do whatever you wanted, but we also produced. So it was a good year personally, but at the end of the day, I still want to win a championship, and that's my main goal every year.
Adam, you know, it's pretty hard to predict the future about what, you know, when any league will start or whatever. We can assume it, you know, it's not going to be in, you know, probably at least around Christmas at least. So how are you kind of approaching this as a veteran player as far as, you know, kind of staying ready or getting ready for whenever the season does start?
I mean, it's such a big change from last year where I finished 2 months and I was already off in China doing the training camp. Now this year it's 10 months off, you know, like it's definitely difficult and mentally draining when you're training all summer and don't really have an end goal in sight when this is going to happen. But, you know, I'm trying to prepare for middle of December. You see, it's kind of a December start. So you try to pace yourself a little bit. Well, the ice didn't go here in until Cranbrook until, you know, 3 weeks ago, a month ago. So, part owner with the Bucks, Cranbrook Bucks, BCHL team here, and their players are starting to roll in here now. So just kind of skating with those guys. It's fun skating with these young kids that are, you know, going off to college scholarships and, you know, looking to make that jump into college or even pro. So it's a lot of fun being around these kids right now, skating with them and just having fun. So just keeping the excitement around hockey as high up as I can right now.
So did you say you're skating in Cranbrook?
Yeah, I live in Cranbrook now.
Okay.
Yeah, not PA anymore. Too many mosquitoes.
Yeah, you know what?
More golf courses out here.
Yeah, exactly. And I saw you're involved with the Cranbrook Bucks. So how did that come around, and what league is it? And, you know, is there something you may want to look forward to in the future being more involved?
Yeah, Nathan Lewin, he's the majority owner and president here. He played in Buffalo and had to retire because of concussions. And, he approached me a couple seasons ago now that he's interested in the team involved, and I hopped right on board. And he's doing all the work, so kudos to him. He's done an amazing job getting this team together. And unfortunately, this is our first year, so with COVID, it's, you know, kind of takes the winds out of the sails for, you know, our first year of the season. But a lot of buzz around town. They're excited to have hockey back, and just happy to be part of it and be around it and see how things operate within an organization, not just with players.
So, Adam, kind of, I guess you just keep skating and training. Because I know most players, when they plan their summer routine, you know, you've got like a four-week set and then a week off, and then you go up at 4-1 and your trainer kind of builds things up. When you don't have a set date, and you're a pro, you've trained a lot, how do you alter it to ensure that your body's going to be in peak condition, whether that's early December, early January, maybe late January?
Yeah, that's where I come in contact. Like, one of the first things I do is when I sign with the team, I reach out with the strength guy immediately and just see, hey, what's the plan? You know, they give me the app. Like, so I'm in touch with Chad Drummond here, and he's, you know, keep making sure I'm staying on this program and kind of build it all up. You know, you don't want to be sky high all summer and just rinsing yourself, because that's not how it's going to work. You know, your body will break down. So we're just working up towards, you know, maybe this November start, hopefully, and kind of go from there. I'm just waiting for Brad Harrison to mail all my gear, so he's taking forever. So,
Harry, come on, Harry. Jeez.
He wanted a shout out, so now he's getting called out on TV or on radio here. So,
shout out.
I better expect some gear here. So, it's just, you know, nutrition, everything like that. You just try not to do too much, but also you want to make sure you're ready. I had a broke my clavicle last year in China, and you know, this has been a good summer for it to fully heal. I finished the season, but you know, obviously under some pain, so it's just nice to make sure that's ready to go for next year.
Well, Adam, congratulations on signing another NHL contract, and best of luck whenever the season begins.
I appreciate it. Thanks, guys.